What I want to do tonight is to have a look at what is really transpiring in your world today. Your world that I've had the privilege of looking at very closely for a period of years now. And yet, you may not agree with all that I'm going to say to you tonight, but I want you to listen, and I want you to listen to the voice of God speak to you. Because I believe if I was to sum up the modern society of moral breakdown at this moment, I would sum it up by saying that within it lies a spirit of aimlessness and indolence. That is, I couldn't care less attitude. And that attitude has been around for a long, long time, not only in your generation, but in other generations. But I couldn't care less is an attitude today that has found its way into the moral fiber of society amongst young people. We have more alcoholic problems today and drug-addicted problems than ever before amongst our young people in Australia. We certainly have a sex-crazy generation, and I wonder where it's all going to end. We certainly are seeing a generation of disrespect and undisciplined attitudes, but there are some young people who do not fit into this category because they have deliberately chosen to seek the life of purpose and fulfillment. But some of the things that I will say tonight not only lie in the fabric of the society of youth, a lot of it lies in the fabric of every God-given community. There is corruption in high places, and everybody seems to do his or her own thing, and the standard of moral rectitude is definitely ignored and openly scoffed at. I did a little bit of research this week. I watched some young people demonstrate their attitude of life, and I'm just glad that my daughter wasn't of that nature when she was a teenager. But as I was beginning to analyze the behavior of one young girl, no more than about 17 years of age, sitting outside a tent like a modern-day prostitute, selling her ware, and a group of young fellows around her, I thought to myself, what future does that young woman have? You see, there is a lack of purpose in the heart and life of many people today. But there is not only a lack of purpose, there is a lot of frustration. And that frustration is beginning to express itself in many ways. You know, it wasn't so many years ago that we could ask young people what they wanted and what they wanted to do, and most of them would have an answer. But young people, generally speaking today, have become unstable and live in a lifestyle of uncertainty. Now, I want to quickly say that it's not all your fault. I don't care who's in Parliament. It doesn't really worry me. I mean, I don't have a problem with election day. I don't have to. Yeah, I'm already elected. And that's a great doctrine if you understood what it meant. But I will say this, in fairness to the modern-day youth, you have been placed in a society of uncertainty by political leaders in every state of Australia. And I've had the privilege of being in every state of Australia. I've had the privilege of watching the uncertainty in the face expressions of many young people that has been primarily put there by politicians as well as welfare workers. So it's not entirely your fault. But where the fault lies with you is in the fact that you do not want to do something about it. But amidst all of that, there is a handful of young people, and I find them in little pockets here and there, who are trying desperately to find purpose and meaning in life. What's it all about? Why am I here? Where am I going? And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is the key to this situation. He is the one who can offer you tonight life and purpose and fulfillment. And I want to say to you, young people, that life in Christ is not a drag. And Paul, on that Damascus road, his life did not have purpose, nor did it have a dimension that was really spiritual. He thought it was, but it wasn't. But let me say in fairness to you tonight that in all of the plans that we may consider for our lives, only one can be certain of fulfillment, and that is God's plan. I wonder if you have stopped long enough in this fast-moving world to say, God, what is the plan you have for my life? You see, the problem some people have is believing that God can be so interested in them personally as to take the trouble planning a life program for them. And young people, I want to say something to you tonight as one who has fallen into the very depth of sin, far deeper than any of you youngsters will ever fall. Let me say this to you tonight in the spirit of love. Never, ever forget that there is only one letter that separates run from ruin, and it is the letter I. And when you or anyone else desires to run from the reality of God, the I will be so prominent that the run will become ruin. You see, to run by yourself is to ask for ruin. But to run with the Lord Jesus Christ is the way of fulfillment. And the great issue that confronts you is this: God's will or mine? His plan or mine? Now, some of you young people thinking about love affairs with the possibility of marriage one day, I want you to prayerfully consider what God has got to say to you. Oh, you say, I want to marry a Christian. That's good, that's wholesome. But I want to also say this to you, that the Christian that you have your eyes on may not be your God-given partner. You may not be compatible with that person. We have more Christian broken marriages today than ever before in the church. God's will or mine? His way or my way? I want to tell you tonight, the quickest way to discover the will of God is to surrender yourself without any mental reservation to God and promise to do His will without knowing what it is at this present moment. But you know, the tragedy is that most of us, even those of us who are older, we're all guilty of this. We want the Lord to give us a preview that we can either approve or discard. It's like buying a TV work and picking out what you fancy and leaving the rest. Now, we cannot possibly do the will of God until we know it. And it is God's responsibility to make it known to us. And God has never, ever failed in that area yet. But it is our responsibility to carry it out when God has made it known clearly to us. When we understand God's plan for our life, it is our responsibility to carry it out. And young people, I want to tell you tonight that that responsibility is yours, not God's. The way you behave ethically and morally is your responsibility. But in fairness, let me say that the first step in discovering God's will and plan for your life is to be truly born again. That is to acknowledge and to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior. And in doing this, it has to be for Him, not for anyone else. When I was recovering from my alcoholism and I went along to Alcoholics Anonymous, I went for me. I did not go for my wife or for my children. I went for me. And I got well. And they got the bonuses. Recovery from alcoholism is a very selfish thing. Personal Christianity is also a very selfish thing, young people. If you are becoming a Christian because of a love affair, or if you are becoming a Christian for somebody else, or for your family's sake, then forget it. Because you will not only bring misery to yourself, but you will bring misery to others around you. But we must be born again for His sake, so that He can be glorified in us. I remember in one of the crusades I held, this woman came to me and she pleaded with me to help her husband come to Christ. She was a lovely Christian, and I said, "Lady," I said, "what do you want him saved for?" She said, "I want a better husband." I said, "forget it." I said, "I won't even pray with you." She thought I was a horrible type. I don't care what she thought. She came with the wrong motive. She came back 3 days later sobbing her heart out, and she said, "I want him converted for the glory of Christ." And I said, "Lady, I'll pray." You see, when we're born again and we belong to the Lord, we belong to his body, namely the church then, and God is ready when you are to put his perfect plan for your life into operation. When I became a Christian, I became a Christian for him. And this was the experience of Paul on the Damascus Road. Paul cried, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Paul didn't say, "What does the church want me to do?" Oh no, he said, "Lord, what is it that you want me to do?" Can you imagine God replying to Paul in this way? "Well, I never expected such a quick response, and my plans for your life are not yet settled. You have done so much harm to the work of the church, it may not be wise to have you do anything." Oh, God didn't say that. You see, God already had a marvelous plan for Paul's life, and God has a plan for your life. And you can only enter into that plan and purpose that God has for you as you acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord, as well as your Savior. You see, it is the knowledge of God's plan for your life that implants purpose and aim and direction and determination in your daily living. It's a daily walk. You see, the will of God is not merely obeying one or two of God's commands, but a total way of life. And as I read the Bible, I see that God wants us to be holy. Therefore, we must pursue the way of holiness. And young people, I'm saying this to you tonight in love. If you want what God has for you, then it's going to be costly. And you are going to have to walk God's way. Not your way, not the way of somebody else, but his way. And your behavior has to have the pure motivation of holiness at all times. You see, God wants us to serve him in whatever capacity he has chosen for us. He may never choose you to be a preacher or a missionary. He may never choose you to be anything else but what you are at this precise moment. I remember when I was a bus driver in Sydney, and not long after I became a Christian, I said, "Lord, I am very happy to be a Christian bus driver. Leave me alone." And I was. I had a beautiful home. We had our first home, which was a very lovely home, 2 minutes from the surf. Being a surfy, that suited me right down to the ground. I used to swim every morning at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I said, "Lord, I'm enjoying being a Christian bus driver." But he had another plan for my life that he unfolded and revealed to me. And when he revealed it to me, he waited precisely 1 week to see whether I would be obedient or disobedient. I do not know what God's plan for your life is. But I do know this, that God has a plan for your life. And when we look at the perfect example of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he stated several times during his public ministry here on earth that he was here to do the Father's will. Now, young people, the greatest ache in my heart is this, that you will grow up into maturity to do the Father's will. I don't want you to look to anyone else in the church for an example except Jesus Christ, because to our shame, I have to admit this to you, that there are many in the church today who have never done the Father's will. They are not even committed to him. They have their own program over there, and they tell the Lord, "Don't you dare interfere with it. Don't you change my nights. Don't you dare interfere with that program. Why, I go here, and I go to that society, and I go there. Don't you dare change it, Lord. Lord, if you change it, I'm not going to tithe to your church. Lord, if you change it, I'll get at that minister. I'll do this, Lord. I'll do all the devious things that I can do, Lord. But, Lord, you're not going to touch my program." Some of them are at home watching television tonight. That's their program, young people. Jesus said when he was here on earth, I am here to do the Father's will. And we know this, and we know what he meant when he was crucified on the cross, because he carried out the Father's will to perfection. And in the last days of his earthly life, we read of him setting his face steadfastly toward Jerusalem, knowing that the fulfillment of his Father's purpose was drawing near. And we're only a few weeks away from Easter, young people. And the Bible reminds us of what it was like before the crucifixion. But it was the joy of doing the Father's will that enabled him to triumph over Satan, sin and death and the grave and hell, and to open the kingdom of heaven to all who would trust him as Lord and Savior. I want to ask you, young people, are you really trusting Christ as Lord and Savior? Would you not agree with me that a life without purpose is a wasted life? There are many people tonight, both inside the church and outside the church, who are absolutely wasting their lives. There are many outside the church who tonight think that parties and alcohol is a way of life. They are living a life without purpose, without direction, and it is a wasted life. And I want to tell you this, that none of us in this building tonight know how long we have on this earth. We do not have a mortgage on time or on death. But what is your life at this moment? Is it a wasted life? Is it a life without purpose and without direction? You see, many of us just drift along. We aim at nothing, and we succeed because it's the biggest target in the world. When you're in the center of the Father's will, and you're walking with him, and your life has purpose and direction, God will do something through you for his glory. Oh, it's very easy to settle into a humdrum existence, keeping to a daily schedule, doing the same chores and meeting the same people, saying the same things. But at this moment in time, life is still yours. It's not too late for you to get back into God's will. And he's able to restore the years the locusts have eaten. Young people, I want to tell you that from a personal word of testimony. I remember sobbing my heart out just after I got saved. And I said to the person that was helping me, I've wasted my life. And do you know what that person said to me? And I've never forgot it. They said, don't be concerned with what's happened. The Lord can restore the years the locusts have eaten. But don't waste it anymore. And young people, I have never, to my knowledge, wasted my life in 27 years of being a committed Christian. And the Lord did restore the years that the locust had eaten. The medical world said I would never study. My brain damage was too severe. I have half of my brain totally damaged, irreparable. One medical man said I would never speak correctly. Others said you will never learn to read and write. Young people, when we all fall into God's perfect plan and purpose for our life, and when we're doing the Father's will, our Heavenly Father will restore the years that the locusts have eaten, and he will bring us to that point where we will be enabled and equipped by him to accomplish his will here on earth. During this past week, someone asked me what I was studying. And I said that I was doing some research in a certain area to earn a doctorate. It's all right to have them conferred on you in an honorary capacity, but I want to earn this one. And young people, I would not have the capacity or the ability to do the study if it weren't for the fact that God restored the years the locust has eaten. I would not have the ability to write the Christian chat each week, which reaches over 500,000 people. I would not have the ability to prepare sermons and study research. But I want to tell you this, that God will only give you his very best when you become his very best. And I'm begging you tonight as God's servant, that you don't let it pass you by. Because Paul on that Damascus road, as a revelation came to him, that God had a perfect plan for his life. And you know, I love the way that the Lord met Paul. The Lord Jesus didn't say, Paul, you persecuted my church. He didn't say, Paul, you are wasting my time. He said, Paul, I have a perfect plan for you. And Paul, I want you to fall into that perfect plan right now. And you know, if you read the Bible and study the Bible, God had a perfect plan for Paul, and he took him out into the desert of Arabia for 3 years. And he said to Paul, I know you're a very learned man. You've learned at the feet of Gamaliel. You're a brilliant Hebrew scholar. I know all of that about you, Paul. But Paul, I want you out here in my university for 3 years. Paul, I want you to listen to me. And then we see Barnabas bringing Paul back into the ministry at Antioch. And Paul came back into the ministry of the Christian church equipped, because he was obedient to the Heavenly Father's will. He was obedient to the heavenly vision that God gave him on the Damascus road. He found that his life had purpose and fulfillment. Young people, for God's sake, stop wasting your life. Stop fooling around and get into the perfect will and plan of God for your life before it's too late. Or it's too. One thing I love about my dear friend Billy Graham, and I just love sitting with Billy and talking, and the thing I admire about Billy every time is this, that as a young person of 17 years of age, he heard the call of God and he was obedient and he responded to God, and God said, Billy, I have a perfect plan and purpose for your life. And he remained true to that obedient call from God. And he has walked in the perfect will and plan and purpose of God for his life. And when you spend time with the team, they never do anything without prayer, without seeking the Lord's guidance and the Lord's will for that day. Oh yes, God had a perfect plan for Paul on the Damascus road. He has a perfect plan for you. And young people, with all that's within you, I'm going to ask you one question tonight. Are you totally surrendered to the Lordship of Christ? We're going to sing an invitation hymn in a moment. And the invitation is not only for you, it's for the older people as well. And the hymn says, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. And I want to tell you before we sing the hymn that this could be the costliest night of your life. Oh, you'll have to drop the fags. You'll have to drop the drugs. You'll have to drop the immorality. You'll have to drop the booze. But tonight, if you come into the perfect will and plan of God for your life, you'll never be the same again. And what is applicable for the young is applicable for those of us who are older. I wonder how many older people here tonight have wasted their life. I'm going to ask you to come forward publicly tonight in total surrender to Christ. May we bow together in prayer. Our Father, your presence is so very real with us tonight. We feel the warmth of your deity. We acknowledge the presence of your holiness. And tonight you're watching to see if we will be obedient to your perfect will and plan for our life. Our Father, we pray that he, the Holy Spirit, will do his own work and glorify Christ in our midst. Amen. The hymn is 287. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Take me now. And as we sing, you just make your way to the front in total surrender to Christ. You're not coming for anyone's sake, but you're coming for His sake. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we bow before You, we thank You that this very night You have spoken to all of our hearts. And our Father, we thank You for those who have heard You this very night, heard You clearly. And we pray right now that Your grace and Your mercy and Your peace will be our portion now and always. Amen.
Five meditation.